You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing? It is so great to be back on the air. I hope everybody had an outstanding holiday season. Great Christmas, great New Year's, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate, it is great to get a fresh start on the year. I know it's kind of a letdown after the holidays are gone, but man, a new year brings new possibilities, new guests, new things to talk about from our standpoint here at Nightlight. But I hope everyone had a safe and fun holiday season, and it is great to have you back. It is great to be back. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Did you do a lot of dancing in your wiggle room for 2026?
No, the wiggle room was shut down. A lot of people got the wrong idea and behaved inappropriately, so we had to shut it down. But yeah, it was a fun New Year's Eve. I had a great, I think I told you, I don't know if I talked about this before the holidays, but I got three huge tubs of Chicago Italian beef for New Year's Eve, and we just like demolished them. And so that was fun. We played a bunch of games. We just kind of hung out with family, friends. My sister has this party every year, which is really fun. It was a great laid back New Year's. That's kind of how I do New Year's. What did you do? Did you go out and party?
Well, did you do shoots and ladders?
Shoots and ladders in terms of board games. You know what?
That's a great game to celebrate. Or, you know,
shoots and ladders. Yeah, it works good with a group. You can play like four. It's like break out the Connect Four at the New Year's Eve party. That's always fun too. No, it's just fun, goofy games like, you know, you put a tennis ball under a solo cup and try to slide it and get it close to the end of the counter. Blindfold yourself and try to march to music and stay in a little square, which is harder than you think. Goofy, silly, fun games like that.
I've definitely seen those games. I've played those games. There's one where I've seen on TikTok where you tie a piece of like a little string around your stomach, and then the other end is a hot dog, and you try to get it into your mouth.
My daughter and my niece both did that at Christmas. No, not at Christmas. At Thanksgiving. And it's so ridiculous and funny looking.
Yes, it's hilarious.
You got to get your rhythm going and swing the hot dog up. And just watching people try to catch it with their mouth is hilarious. Have you done that game?
Yeah, it's so funny.
But it's gross. Like, I think they were using uncooked hot dogs. And I think when you buy hot dogs, they're cooked. But this was just kind of like wrong.
Well, yeah, you should get a bun, get some ketchup on it, some relish.
Why not?
Get the works on it.
It's just fun for the whole family. All fun stuff. What did you do? Seriously, did you hang out?
I went down to my friend's in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And we just celebrated his house. Saw some friends I haven't seen in a while. And
fantastic.
Rang in the new year. Played some games as well.
That's awesome.
Had a couple beverages.
That sounds like a good time. Yeah. No drinking and driving or anything of that magnitude.
You stay there.
Yeah. That's the best part about New Year's Eve to me. Like, if you live like where you can walk to bars, that's great, but nobody wants to be out of a car. Even if you're a good driver, and that's what a lot of people say, I'm a great driver, or I don't drink and drive. Other people do. That's what's kind of scary to me. So, but it is good to be back. We are broadcasting live, as we said, from beautiful downtown Green Bay, wherever you're joining us from in the state of Wisconsin tonight, folks. It is great to have you. Let's kick this thing off with a bang. And you know what? Without further ado, because every day that passes, New Year's Day and New Year's Eve gets farther away from us, so I think we need to get to our Nightlight question of the night sooner rather than later.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Pretty basic. What is your New Year's resolution? Give it to us, folks. Shoot us straight. It could be something silly, something funny, something serious. I am committed to giving up high fructose corn syrup this year. I want no sugar substitutes. I don't really even want sugar, but that's a lot tougher. So I'm going no high fructose corn syrup. That is Peach Wabba's New Year's resolution. Con?
I'm just saying that's respectable because there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you got to look out for ingredients just to make sure, like, some stuff, make sure it doesn't have it in it.
And it's not even just that. There's all kinds of sugar substitutes. Yeah. I don't want any of it. If I'm going to have sugar, I'll have real sugar.
Well, what about when gelato comes back?
That's got to be real sugar, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's gelato. Gelato never leaves either, by the way. It's over there for the taking. Yeah, it's just a little chilly.
It's
just,
you know, well, this is what you do. You get it, and then you just, you know, open the vent in your car, make it hot, and then it's like you're in summer eating gelato.
That's true. Work up a sweat in your car in the middle of winter and wolf down some gelato. That is a great way to
run. Or after you're done shoveling, you know?
Conrad is, of course, talking about our friends over at Rise and Grind, an outstanding coffee shop. They're not just known for their gelato. They have great coffee.
Yes, they do.
And I would be willing to bet that gelato has real sugar.
I feel like it's not as bad as regular ice cream, you know?
Yeah. You're kind of stalling, though. You're not really saying what you're...
Okay, well...
Or what your resolution... It doesn't have to give up. You could try to do something, too, right?
Well, okay, so mine last year was to just keep working out, not give up.
Okay.
And my biggest stretch it was towards the end of the year. I didn't work out for like 2 weeks because of all the holiday stuff. So that was my longest time I didn't work out for. It was 2 weeks.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So I'm going to keep it rolling.
Yeah. You got up to 280. You're benching 280.
Trying to go for 305 this year. This is three plates. So.
If you could get to 305 by the end of the year.
I think I could get it in the summer.
By the summer, that's 15 pounds. No, it's 25 pounds. That's significant.
Yeah, just keep training like I do, you know.
Okay.
But another one, this is my main one. Because this, I know I can do it now.
Like, yeah.
Working out. I know I can it's just getting there. That's the thing. It's like, got to not be lazy and be like, today I don't want to.
Right. I mean, that's a good one. I would say most people, by and large, probably say, I want to work out more. I want to get in better shape. And that's certainly one of mine. But I'm not going to fool myself into thinking I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm pretty good about going. Yeah. But I want to know what your New Year's resolution is, folks. So let us know at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your New Year's resolution is. 2026 is upon us. We are on the air. It's basically New Year's Day here, according to Nightlight. So let us know. You can also text us on the app or the stream if you're listening to or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. Let us know what you are choosing for a New Year's resolution. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow. We appreciate those as well. I don't know. There's so much stuff. Like, I was weeding through. You know, I kind of want to sleep better. I get pretty good sleep, but like there's so much stuff. But I have a feeling most of the people will say gym stuff. I was at the gym yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Planet Fitness.
Was it packed?
It's supposed to be. No.
Oh, nice.
It was not packed because I went during a football game.
Ah, yes.
So I went with my daughter and we're working out. And then this young couple comes in and you could tell this guy is just like super intense. He's that guy, like, you know, and supposedly these people are not welcome at Planet Fitness, the grunters and the throwing the plates down.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was pretty intense and he was like, you know, grunting a lot. And he's talking to his girl who's on a machine. I go over and I use the machine next to them. There's nothing. There's no towel. There's no water bottle there or anything. So and I do like one. My reps take me a minute and a half. I don't do reps. I do like a slow dealio where I let the resistance thing. And the guy comes over and he's just got his arm on the machine and he's just watching me. Like, kind of letting me know I screwed up the etiquette of Planet Fitness. And I said, I finished my set and I go, this is where I'm such a jerk. I go, did I jump in front of you? And he goes, yeah, you did. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. There's nothing here. I didn't know. So I did another rep, even though it's not part of my routine, just to make him wait longer because he was such a D-bag. And I cannot stand gym people like that. And to be honest, I haven't really encountered many at the Marinette Planet Fitness. But this guy was like, and then I went to get the, you know, you wipe it down. I go, oh, let me wipe that down for you. No, no, no. Like, not even a word.
No, like, he wants okay. You to sweat.
Yeah, go ahead. And I said, well, I've got the bird flu. I insist. And he goes, ah. He didn't even extend my comedic olive branch. So whatever.
You know. I do ask, like, every time someone's like almost done with the machine, or, you know, done with the machine or something, and they were just off, and I go, I just point at it.
Yeah,
I didn't say anything.
Right, the universal. Can I get
just
on point? This?
And then he says, and they just give me a nod, and I'm like, all right.
But this guy wasn't like he was five
yeah, he
feet.
Was, he
I was
looking.
Looking at it when I was on the previous machine because I go machine to machine. I like to get out of there. You know, I'm not a guy who's going to chat for 20 minutes between sets with other workouters. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just kind of irritated me. I should have done a couple more sets. Blast my quads.
You should have grunted too.
Yeah.
Grunted.
But with the slow, like 30-second release, it would be a long, continuous grunt.
He's still staring at you doing it.
Exactly. Lots to get to, folks. Fun show tonight. We are kicking off 2026 the right way, in my opinion. I've got just a really solid group of guests tonight. It's going to be fun. Laura Errico is here at 5:35. Laura is an actress and owns her own public relations firm. She's also got an incredible story to tell about losing her husband 10 years ago, and now she's pregnant. So I'll just put that out there, but it is an incredible story, very inspirational story. Excited to talk to Laura at 5:35. And you might recognize that name. Con, Laura helped us get David Zucker on the show
awesome.
A few months ago.
Yeah,
and then Robbie Schultz. So Laura will be here at 5:35. And then 6:35, hot fun in the summertime, ladies and gentlemen. The Doctors in Recital are coming into the studio. Kim Shevchik, Paul and Chris Piatt, they always fill our studio with song whenever they are here. And they will be talking about their upcoming show, The Doctors in Recital, which is taking place here in Green Bay, January 24th. And they'll give us a little sampling of what you can hear if you decide to go to the show, and all the proceeds go to outstanding causes. So we will welcome The Doctors in Recital at 6:35. And then comedian Dana Ehrman will be here at 7:35. Dana is a native Wisconsinite. I don't know if she still lives here. She's been on the show before. I can't remember. She might be in New York. But we'll get to the bottom of it. Dana's a very funny comedian. She'll be here at 7:35 tonight. And looking forward to meeting and hanging out with all of tonight's guests. What is your New Year's resolution, folks? That is our question of the night. 855-752-4842. Something I did do, Conrad, that I was very excited on New Year's Eve. I was not excited about the Stranger Things finale because I missed seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, that leaves out a lot of
I just kind of had to play catch up because the kids were here on Thanksgiving and then for the whole break at winter, and they got me caught up on season 5. So I watched it with them just kind of to be a sport. What did you think? Let's start with you.
Maybe we should leave it to the next segment because
you got that much to say, huh?
I do. Okay. I got a lot to say about it because it's you know, it's one of my favorite shows and how it ended. I don't know.
Why don't we do this? We got about just a few seconds here before we have to get to our first break. News, sports, and weather coming up, folks, by the way, at 5:35. But Brittany Merlot defeated you in
fantasy
football.
Yes, she did.
I think we meant to talk about that.
We did.
Did we talk about it?
We did.
So now I'm just
kind of
rubbing
to
it in.
Yeah, you're just rubbing it in.
Hey, we've got a lot coming up, folks. After the break, we're going to talk about Stranger Things. Bears-Packers Part 3. There will be a rubber match, and it should be exciting. This coming weekend in Chicago, we'll cover all of that. We'll talk about Avatar. Did you see Avatar?
I didn't.
All right. We'll get the thing. It's going to be a fun show. Either way, we're going to talk about all the things Conrad didn't see over the break. we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has gone. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Happy New Year, everybody. News, sports, and weather coming up in just a few minutes here. Civic Media's news team will keep you informed, so stick around for that. Laura Errico, actress, publicist, and a person with a really inspirational story will be here at 5:35. Doctors in Recital at 6:35 and comedian Dana Ehrman at 7:35. There's your show, folks. That's the way you kick off a year. All right. So Stranger Things, I got to tell you, I didn't love it. It was just kind of a whatever. Here, in a nutshell, folks, if you don't watch Stranger Things, it can be fun. If you watch it with a group, it's enjoyable, and it's fun to see the spectacle, and the sets look cool, and everything, and the acting is okay. But, man, that wrap-up, that hour-long wrap-up.
That's
brutal.
That's where I got confused. It was, you know, it was a two-hour episode, pretty much a movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought there was going to be, like, at least, like, it was 30 minutes of fighting Vecna.
Right. Vecna is the bad guy.
Yes.
And,
it took 2 minutes.
Right.
And then it's just, I was like, that's it? Are you serious? He's been, for 5 seasons, he's been doing all this stuff, and it took that long.
Right. And it was, how they killed him, and whatever, spoiler alert. I mean, you know, the guy's going to die. But that actual scene was pretty cool.
Just the setting that they had it in, it was like really cool, you know? Like it was a different planet or whatever and stuff like that. And then they were inside this huge, I think it's the mind flare that they were in. And just like, I don't know. I was just like, okay, are we like, that's seriously, you rode in and then they killed him. And it's just 2 minutes of what, maybe one piece of paper for the fight.
One script page. Yeah, it was just kind of like the last battle, and then the last hour was a wrap-up, where if you're someone like me who didn't stick with the show after season one and a couple episodes of season two, it's just you don't care. But there, that was for all of the Stranger Things fans who the Duffer brothers probably thought were getting misty-eyed, and they wanted to see, you know, that all that emotional, sentimental stuff wrap up the show. I don't think... Even my kids who followed it were kind of like, oh my gosh. Like, they did a fast forward where the older characters were sitting on top of that, and they're all in their careers now. And it's like 2 years later. They're still younger than you. And like, well, I'm in Manhattan making my movie. And it's like, what? it was so off. I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
No, I didn't. You know, when that scene ended, you know, when they killed Vecna, I looked to see how much time was left, and there was an hour. I'm like, wait, what?
Right, what do we do now?
Why is there still an hour left? I mean, for, you know, there was that scene at where 11 dies.
But, yeah.
And then after that, it's still 30 minutes, 40 minutes of wrap-up.
Right, and then they, like, when they were showing the kids playing in the basement Dungeons & Dragons, which I guess is how the whole thing started, they... you know, they had this thing where they put their game away and they're crying. And I even asked my kids, I said, do they play Dungeons and Dragons a lot on the show? And they said, well, some, but it's not like during the Happy Days finale where they all were hanging at Arnold's or, you know, The Office where they were saying their goodbyes. I don't know. It just, nothing about it rang. I didn't love it. We have a call, yeah. Con?
Yes. Yeah, Cindy from Appleton.
Cindy from Appleton. How are you?
Hey, Pete. Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. What's going on?
Well, I saw a couple movies over the holiday weekend, like I told you I would, although I didn't get to see Avatar because I ended up sick. But
oh,
I did
sorry
see
to hear that.
The Neil Diamond Song Sung Blue review, which I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, I thought the chemistry between the two, Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, was pretty awesome, although they could have depicted him a little more closely to what he should have looked like, but she was pretty spot on. But
yeah.
Anyway, I was surprised to find out that almost everything in that movie actually truly happened.
You know, a lot of I've
times
heard
they
that.
They buffed this stuff up for Hollywood, but I Googled about 4 or 5 different sites after the movie, and it was like everything was pretty much too true to what happened, and it was pretty freaky, so... Anyway, and then I saw The House, was it The Housemaid or The Maid?
Oh, yeah, The Housemaid. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Thriller.
Yeah. Jury was out on that one. I think there was a lot of real things that just didn't seem to add up, like locks on the doors and some of the things that were done. It just, to me, was like, nah, I think it missed a lot of points. But it was kind of a thriller, but, you know.
Were you ever?
I guess they kind of.
Were you scared or were you ever thrilled?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well. No, not really. I was just kind of, I mean, it's just basically a psycho, whole psycho family, you know. Seen enough of that where, you know, just nothing really does anything to me anymore. But
get that
anyway,
in your own
they did kind of leave the door open, I think, for another series, because I guess this is a book series, what I understand. So I'm sure they left the door open for another one, but I really wasn't very impressed. But I really liked the song Sun Glue. I thought that was pretty well done, and I mean they sing pretty good, and the acting was good. So
that's
that
on my
list.
I'll
give an A plus too. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So if you had to pick between those two, you'd obviously go Song Sun Glue.
Oh yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yep. Cindy, thank you for, I love when people call in and tell me what they thought of stuff. I love getting the conversation going. So thank you so much. Happy New Year. And
you too.
Don't be a stranger.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye. That's Cindy from Appleton. I do want to see The Housemaid, but it, and the reviews are pretty good, but I feel like, I don't know. It's not high on my list, but Song Sung Blue and Marty Supreme are on the list. I got to see them.
You know, so. I really actually want to see The Housemaid. Not for the story.
Nefarious reasons. Yeah. Hey, Amanda Seyfried is kind of on my. I like her a lot.
She's great.
She's great. She's great. She was really good in. She's in a show where she played a cop. It had a really weird title. I have to look it up. But she was good in it, and she's a good actor. I think she started her career as a dancer, much like myself. All right, so we got news, weather, and sports coming up, folks. Then Laura Errico will be here at 5:35. Bears-Packers talk in hour number two. You don't want to miss that either. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tell me more than this. Welcome back. This is the 2026 version of Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. Wherever you're joining us from, around the state or parts beyond, Happy New Year. And how long can we say that, Conrad? Didn't we have this discussion last year? I feel like we can say it tonight because this is our first show in 2026.
Who said it again?
Larry David.
Yes, Larry David when he was working out.
It was like January 21st or something.
Happy New Year.
You just never know. I don't want to get looks.
I'll say the 10th.
Okay. I'm going to say tonight. That's it. I won't go beyond.
Well, what if it's a person you haven't seen, you know?
That's true. All right. So, folks, we've got lots of fun tonight. The Doctors in Recital are here in the studio at 6:35 singing to their heart's content. It's going to be a lot of fun. Comedian Dana Ehrman will be here in hour number three, and Conrad and I will open up the phone lines. They're always open, but text line, whatever. Some Bears-Packers talk. We got to start it Monday. This is a rubber match coming up this weekend in Chicago. Should be a lot of fun. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She this is her first visit to Nightlight, and I'm thrilled to have her. She is an actress and a publicist, and her name is Laura Errico. Laura, good evening, my friend.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. This is exciting for me because you have helped us find guests in the past. We owe you a thank you for David Zucker and Robbie Schultz, and now you're here as a guest. So how exciting is that?
How fun. Yeah, I love it. It's great to be here, and I'm so glad you've had some of our wonderful clients on. They've always enjoyed coming on your show.
Good. Well, it's been great having them, and it's great to have you here tonight. Do you have a New Year's resolution? Are you a resolution person?
Sort of, yeah. I never keep them, but I try. You know, this year I'm very organized, but this year, because I'm expecting a baby, I have to have everything from taking care of my mom to working full time, juggling my acting career, my publicity firm. Everything has to be a lot more streamlined. So I'm going to have to crack down on myself, even though I already do all that. But it's got to get more and more intense this year.
You sound very resolute to begin with, so I would imagine your resolutions will hold fast throughout the year. And you've got so much going on. We'll get to all of that. But before we do, and before we tell this really interesting and fascinating and inspirational story that you have to share with us about being pregnant, tell us a little bit about yourself. You started as an actor, and now you have your own PR for a publicist firm. Tell us about that, and tell us about you.
Yeah, so I started acting as a kid. I was very shy, but I loved performing for family and friends. So to come out of my shell, when I finally graduated college, I started doing modeling and acting, and then I did Second City Chicago. Because that, they make you do everything from, you know, learning from the bottom up to be a tree, to be an animal, to do voices, to do impressions. You learn everything. And I credit them to so much of my career. Because then after that, came out of my shell, started acting in TV and film, doing commercials and modeling and anything I could to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
And then moved to LA for 12 years I was there.
That's great.
And now here I am. And back in Chicago, I go where I need to be for the work.
Yeah.
And I own a publicity firm, which I started almost 10 years ago after my husband passed away, unfortunately. One of the reasons we left LA was because he was sick. So
yeah,
here I am now. Yeah, things have gotten better. Great things going on. But definitely juggling a lot, but enjoying both careers still.
So a big thing for performers, entertainers, whatever, and I was not very good at this back when I was a stand-up comic, is you have to talk about yourself. You have to promote yourself. I would imagine you as an actor, now that you have a PR firm, is it easier for you to talk about yourself as an artist?
Yeah, it's gotten easier. Yeah, you have to. You're your own promotional tool and your own promoter.
Right.
So you have to be able to market yourself. A lot of people sit around waiting for things to happen, but you have to do the work. 75% of the work is working to get work.
Right.
You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. And you got to run it like a business. So I find the way I've done it has been successful.
That's excellent.
It's not easy. It's fun, but it's not easy.
We've got, I kind of almost feel like we're already sort of semi-besties because we have a mutual friend in Mike Toomey, Lenny Schmidt. I know you were just on Mike's show.
Yeah.
And
yes,
I was like, wait a minute. I know Laura when he was telling me about your story. I was like, why not? We should have her on too. So that worked out well. But you've also been on Kevin Can Wait, a show that I wrote jokes for. So that must have been fun working with Kevin James. Yeah.
Oh my God. What a small world. Yeah. I did a little guest star on that several years back because a writer who became a friend of mine, producer Mike Socio.
Oh yeah.
So you probably know him if you wrote jokes on the show. Had me on King of Queens and then that show.
Yeah.
And what a fun show to work on. What great people.
Yeah. That's so exciting. All right. Well, let's jump in here. I want to ask you about your pregnancy because your story is basically a movie waiting to happen. And you talked about your husband and having to leave LA and you're pregnant now, but there is a big twist to this story. And I hate to sound like I'm trivializing what is so personal to you because it's just so uplifting. But tell us about your pregnancy and the significance of your husband and the pregnancy and what happened to your husband.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in 2007, my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And it was just unfortunate and fast the way it all happened because, you know, your life changes in an instant. So the doctors, one of the things they said to us was, if you want children, he should freeze everything. So we had to hurry and do that before he went on chemo. And we did that. But then he battled that brain tumor for 8 years, which made it really hard to, you know, he's juggling work, juggling life, and us wanting to start a family. We were only 30 and he was 31 when he was diagnosed. So towards the end of his life, he had a remission. A couple remissions, but one in particular. So we did try IVF and unfortunately had 3 miscarriages, 4 total, actually. Once they gave us a time where he could try naturally when he had taken a long break from chemo. So 4 miscarriages, lots of money for fertility treatments and IVF. And at the time there was nothing wrong with me. We were doing it that way because of his treatments. So then he had a really difficult recurrence. At that point, we had exhausted every treatment, so we had to put everything on hold, and then 9 months later, he passed away. So here I was, almost 10 years later, he passed away in 2015. I really wanted children, and I've gone throughout the years, I've dated people here and there, up and down, long-term relationships, but, you know, people either change their mind at the last minute, and I wasn't getting any younger, so my thing was, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. So I decided to go about it myself. It wasn't my plan. I really wanted to have a partner, but I did it. And I've had a lot of support from family and friends and through IVF. And here I am almost, you know, I'm just about 8 months pregnant and expecting a baby in early February.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. And use my late husband's stuff, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be like, and you're a publicist. Like, what is it like when you don't, even your own clients don't have the story to tell? Like, it seems like you have more interesting stuff to tell than people who have great jobs.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely an interesting story, a Hallmark Lifetime movie type of thing.
Yeah.
It's really a nice story. And I'm happy to share it because I think it inspires so many other women. One important thing I forgot to mention, when I did IVF back in May, I was 48 and now I'm 49.
And you've had miscarriages in the past too, which has got to be in the back of your mind as well, I would imagine.
So it's always been in the back of my mind. This is the furthest along I've ever been. Wow. I've been really healthy. I was healthy last time, but a lot of stress, you know, when my husband was battling cancer. So here we are. I mean, it's a dream come true. It's not the exact dream I expected, but I love that. It is a story. It's an inspiring story. It's therapeutic for me to share because I don't want to hold it in. You know, a lot of people do, and I understand it's a very private matter, but I'm like, I want to help other people.
Sure.
So it's therapeutic for me, but I always feel, and I say the same thing over and over, I feel like it's helping other people by sharing and inspiring other people to maybe do this on their own and not be afraid. And then at this age, you know?
Yeah. It's a fascinating story. Laura Errico is my guest. She joins me over the stream from, are you in Chicago right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She joins us from Chicago, and her company is called Laura Errico Public Relations. She's also an actor, and she just mentioned she's 48 years old and pregnant with her late husband's baby, which is, you know, and it's so funny because I don't know you. This is the first time we've ever talked, but I've, you know, just researching this interview, I've seen how kind of vivacious you are and type A you are, and but at the end of the day, you're going through this alone. And I would imagine the support group you have around you are great. But do you have those moments alone where, tell us what that's like, because this is such a huge life moment.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's been difficult. I have a very dear friend and my ex-boyfriend who's actually been a complete angel, sticking with me throughout this and helping me. He's been amazing. Wow. Yeah. And a lot of my best girlfriends and my family, everybody's just been, my mom had this huge baby shower for me. So that's been great. But then sometimes you do get down because you're like, this wasn't what I planned. You know, I'm not married. I don't have the family I dreamed of, but it's very unconventional. It's very different. I know that, but I didn't have a choice. You know, I really wanted a family. So everything's a little backwards. So I'm like, okay, this is the way I have to go about it. And find my person and settle down after the baby. That's fine with me. But right now my priority is the baby, and I take care of my sick mother too.
I read that too. I'm like, your dance card is full.
Oh, it's definitely full. Yeah. Today we had mom trying out a motorized wheelchair. So she was scooting around the house through my office where I'm at now. And then she's always in the other room watching her TV, and I work from home. My business is from home. But it's definitely always a circus here at the house. There's always people in and out of the house. There's always something going on here.
Your story is so interesting too, because you and your mother were both widows at 38 years old. You're going through everything you've gone through in addition to being having a successful career. Do you ever picture the day when you tell your unborn child down the road everything that's happened? That's got to be an incredible story that I can almost picture someone absorbing all this.
Right. Yeah, no, right. When the age is appropriate, saying that she has an angel father in heaven looking over her, and his story and our story, and what a blessing and how much it was, what I went through just to get her here. And it's a girl, by the way. So
yeah, that's great.
But yeah, it's definitely a story. And I heard there's a book, and I have to look for it, about that you could read to them when they're little. So they kind of gradually learn how they were brought here.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you have, will it be hard for you to step away from work for a while after the baby's born? Or is that if there was ever a great moment to do that, this would be it. But will that be difficult for you?
Yes, that's hard because I own the business.
Right.
And I'm producing a TV show for a client that we're working in development on right now to get picked up. But yeah, I think the only way I can do it is I have an amazing assistant, Raquel, who you've met.
Yeah.
I'll probably take a 2-week, maybe 3-week leave.
Okay.
But jeez. I still have to have my hands in everything. So I've been working double to get everybody in a good place.
Well, I will let you, I will let you off the hook, Laura, in terms of finding Nightlight guests. I'll give you your space. We have Laura Errico is here, folks. We'll have a couple more minutes with Laura when we come back after this very short break. News, sports, and weather is just 10 minutes away. It is great to have you here, folks. It's 2026, all kinds of new possibilities. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. News is right around the corner, folks. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. I am so thrilled you are here with me wherever you are joining us from tonight across our great state of Wisconsin or parts beyond. It is great to be back in the seat and talking about the things in life we love, movies and TV and comedy and music. And tonight, my first guest is has a remarkable story. Laura Errico owns Laura Errico Public Relations. She is also a talented and successful actor. And she just told us a remarkable story about how she is pregnant with her late husband's baby. And things are going well, Laura. That's great to hear. Hey, do you have any pregnancy cravings? I have to ask you that.
No, which is really weird. A lot of people have asked me. I mean, there was a week or two where I wanted McDonald's fries and a shake every day. Oh, but that was it. I don't even know if that was a craving or if I just wanted that. I don't know. But no, I haven't. And I didn't get sick either.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's got to help a little bit, right?
Yeah. I got lucky because the other times when I had all the miscarriages, I would get a little sick. But I think I have acid reflux to begin with, which I was going to get anyway with the pregnancy.
Right.
So I'm already on medication for that. So.
Okay. Wow.
I think that took care of it. Yep. Woo.
Well, good for you. I hope it's smooth sailing. And you're 7 months along right now? Does that sound about right?
I think I just hit 8. I'm going to be 35 weeks on Wednesday.
Wow. Congratulations. That's
exciting. Thank you. Yeah.
So you're also, okay, in addition to you're taking out a lot, you've already had a lot on your plate before you became pregnant.
Yep.
You've got a show in addition to, you know, helping other people promote their projects and your own acting career. You've got a show that you have on social media called Life After Loss. Tell us about that and where we can see it.
Yeah. So that's a little... Well, I was doing like a bi-monthly episode and now I haven't done one since September. So I need to get caught up. Everything's been insane, as you can imagine.
Sure.
But that's like the week before I went for my IVFs, when I decided to go public, I'd been keeping it a little secret from family, from everybody. And I'm like, what am I doing? That was driving me nuts. So I decided to share via video with all my friends and family and the public. And that's how I started it. So I think I owe everybody episode number 8, which the New York Post did a beautiful article of my story. And I think they mentioned I would be coming up with episode 8. And that was a few months ago. So I need to do my next episode. So thank you for mentioning that. So if people haven't got caught up, you can get caught up by Googling the show.
There you go. And the great article that I read about you in People magazine, that was really... you could tell they put a lot of time and thought into that and respected your story as a result. So great. But just
thank
Google
you.
All things Laura Errico. It's such a great story. I mentioned that earlier that you have all these great clients. Do any of them have a story? Not that would rival yours or make competition, but who has a story that you've just been blown away by?
Yeah, no, we've had so many great clients with so many amazing stories. So many favorites. I hate to pick. We had a client who was deaf and in a multiracial ethnicity, that he had to fight the system to not make them check in a box exactly what ethnicity his children were when he was sending them to school. And he made a whole award-winning documentary about it. It was just amazing, you know? Yeah. They were trying to pinpoint what he's like. They're Jewish, they're Black, they're American Indian, they're Caucasian, they're Asian, they're everything. So he didn't want to have to pinpoint them into a little box. So his story was told, and that did real well. You know, and if our clients don't have some sort of big crazy story, we find ways to come up with something that matches them, their brand, their personality, to make them interesting. And everybody we rep is awesome and interesting, you know?
Everybody's got a story. That's a great way to put it. Laura Errico is my guest. She is the owner of Laura Errico Public Relations, and she is also a successful actress. So I usually ask all my guests this, Laura. What are you binge watching? Is there something you could recommend or something you can't wait to get home at night and watch on color television?
You know, it's funny. I'm in the industry and you'd expect I'd have an answer, and I don't binge watch anything except, but what I do, you want to know what I did last year? I watched reruns of Who's the Boss?
Tony Danza.
Yes.
And Catherine
Hellman. I love old sitcoms.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like comfort food.
I love old sitcoms.
Yeah.
It is. I could watch I Love Lucy, The Golden Girls, Seinfeld. I love old sitcoms.
Wow, that's a great
answer. No, I haven't binge watched anything. Maybe 30 Rock back when that came out, because that was really funny. And I like Tina Fey, and I was considered for SNL back in 2012. So I always have a liking for that type of comedy. So
that's awesome.
That might be the only thing. We're talking way back.
No, that's great. I love it. You know, it gets such an array of answers. I love it. There are no right or wrong answers. It's just fun to find out what people are watching.
I know mine was nothing.
No, this is great. Well, listen, I hope you come back and tell us how everything went when you're a new mom, or when the Lifetime movie gets made, as you say, whatever. It's been great talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk anyway because you have such great clients and they're fun as guests. But it's been great getting to know you as well, too, and we really appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, Pete. This was great. Thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
Anytime. We'll do it again. And good luck the rest of the way, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. That's Laura Errico. Just Google her story. It's just absolutely fascinating. And Conrad, what did you think about that?
I mean, yeah, that's what you said. It's fascinating.
It's like that's a movie waiting to happen.
Yes.
I'm sure maybe that's not the first time it's happened, but just incredible.
You know who gets on? You know who needs to get on this?
Who?
Lifemark.
Yeah, we don't have to wait till next holiday season, too.
Exactly.
We'll do a Lifemark Arbor Day movie or something. We'll do all that. Hey, folks, tonight's question of the night is, what is your New Year's resolution? After news, sports, and weather, we will read some of your texts when we come back. We'll talk a little Bears-Packers, and that should keep us preoccupied. I'm very excited to hear what you think about this game coming up, Con. So we'll do that. And we got Mike Clemens later in the week. It's going to be a fun Bears-Packers week as we approach this rubber match in Soldier Field on Saturday. New sports and weather is next. And then the Doctors in Recital are here, folks, at 6:35 in the studio. Comedian Dana Erman at 7:35. A great night here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It's Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.